The World of Podcasts is so wide and full of opportunities. There are no boundaries and no judgments. When we started Let's Talk Gen Z, we had no set list of topics, and we still don't. We just wanted it unwinding every week to lay down our thoughts and to talk. Today, we probably have the most fun topic to talk about. It'll definitely leave you feeling giddy and nostalgic by the end. It is the one about romantic comedies. The evolution throughout the years, the laughs, the tears, the drama, and the happily ever after. Welcome everyone to Let's Talk Gen Z, a podcast created and produced by Gen Z for the future. Hello, my name is Aparna.
Hi, my name is Angela, and we're the speakers for this episode. The word romance isn't something we don't hear every day, but do you know what it means? Romance or romantic love is an emotional feeling of love for or a strong attraction towards another person, and the courtship behaviors undertaken by an individual to express these overt feelings and resultant emotions. What does romance mean to us? What has been our experience so far? Do we have any future expectations?
Okay, I can start. So I think what romance means to me is just like long-lasting like love. Mm-hmm. It could just be like a love, like a family love or feeling happy from love. And personally, I definitely feel a lot of love from my parents. So I think that is how romance has affected me. And I really get happy when I receive love from my parents, like even like a simple hug means a lot to me. And for expectations, if I love someone else, I think they should also love me back. So like, maybe that's one expectation, but other than that, I don't really have any expectations for love.
Yeah, I totally relate to you. We usually think that romance is only the things that happen between boys and girls things. But I think also the family love could be the romance. Is it like genuine romance? And yeah. It's like you said, I share a lot of love with my family members, and I really appreciate that. It makes me feel really happy, as you said. And like for future expectations, I don't know. I just want to keep this love with my family like forever. And maybe I could date with someone, but I've never been dating with someone since now. So yeah. I do have a lot of expectations about romance. Yeah, I think it's a really mysterious part of our life.
Definitely, I completely agree.
Yeah. So awesome. Now on to a very fun fact. The term romance originates with the medieval idea of chivalry as set out in the literature or chivalric romance. Comedy is called a medieval genre. It's flexible enough that it can be inserted in any kind of genre. It can brighten up your day or leave you with a scar on the face. Comedy might be the hardest thing to pull off, and it's certainly one of the weakest things to pitch or develop. A comedy that doesn't work is super cringy. The comedy in a romantic comedy can come to life in many ways. Situational humor like slapstick, sarcasm, and etc. Think about when Harry met Sally. Like situational humor makes them see another side of one another and enables their evolution from friends to love. Of course, romantic comedy has existed for a long time, but did you know who invented romantic comedy?
William Shakespeare did. He influenced the idea of romance in modern times by his plays. So basically, he invented every romantic comedy trope we love today. The traditional romantic comedy structure originated in his work is The Merchant of Venice, with the central plot formed by three separate relationships plot lines, which storylines were still infused with theatrical comedy. Then the Shakespearean romantic comedy structure reappeared in the 20th century silent films. The 1924 films Sherlock Jr. and Girlshy set the precedent for how the romantic comedy will be translated to the silver screen. The first period to see this meandering was the 1930s and 1940s, which was witnessed in the advent of the screwball comedy. The female-centric approach to storytelling was still stitched into the fabric of the romantic comedy. The 1950s through 70s saw the most radical changes to romantic comedy, where it ensured a sexual realm. In tandem with the sexual liberation movement of the time, sex comedy sashayed in as the new romantic comedy subgenre. Films like The Battle of the Sexes and Lover Come Back were imbued with the sort of sexual tension derived from pitting the man and woman against one another.
Films like 16 Candles and Sleepless in Seattle are staples of the genre. Not for their timelessness, but for their commitment to what makes romantic comedies universally likable. They appear to our desire to feel desired. In the 20s, romantic comedy fatigue finally hit audiences. The later years of the decade and the early years of the following saw a shift in audience attitude. The general studio attitude was that audiences simply no longer wanted to see romantic comedies on the big screen. The gender politics, heteronormativity, and gender witness of the romantic comedy no longer reflected the evolving attitudes and demographics of target audiences. The love for these films comes from seeing themselves represented, and the representation is what has breathed new life into the beloved romantic comedy. Far from simply waiting for someone to sweep them off their feet, the heroes of modern film are active in shaping their own stories in many aspects, including romance. Like in 1995's Clueless, the protagonist was more concerned with self-improvement than relationships, and while she had romantic attachments, they were far from all she was as a person. Julia Stiles' lead in 10 Things I Hate About You eschews any boy crazy teen stereotype in favor of a passionate, spirited performance that resonates with fans to this day.
Romantic comedies have evolved to cover more topics like cultural differences, friendships, and body confidence while still having the romantic comedy feel to it. The presence of the more LGBTQ-focused romantic comedies in mainstream cinema is one of the most recent evolutions in this genre. 2018's Love, Simon broke barriers as the first movie by a major Hollywood studio to focus on a gay high school romance. Where once LGBTQ+ storylines were viewed as controversial by studio bosses, small steps are being made to portray love from all perspectives. In the past, many romantic comedies have focused on a hetero relationship with a dominant male love interest. In the 1930s, the term screwball comedy was used for romantic comedies that featured strong female leads and stories about the battle of the sexes. In the 1950s and early 1970s, those romantic comedies focused on the differences between men and women, which caused rivalry between the love interests. Romantic comedies have long been referred to as chick flicks, which movies are targeted mainly towards women, though it seems to reflect our society's dismissive attitude towards women's interests. However, in the 1980s and 1990s, director John Hughes became well known for his coming-of-age films, which included the famous romantic comedy films Pretty in Pink and 16 Candles. Those films placed the problem of teenagers at the forefront of the story, in which they explored There's like some motorcycle happening next to my house. Okay, great. Those films placed the problems of teenagers at the forefront of the story, in which they explored the unrequited love, friendships, adolescence, peer pressure, and class differences.
The majority of movies created between the 1990s and early 20s showcase imperfect yet interesting relationships, like My Best Friend's Wedding and the 1999 classic Never Been Kissed. In the early 2010s, there was a shift as movies focused on the nuances of marriage and long-term love rather than an unrealistic relationship such as craze stupid love in 2011, and This Is for Tea in 2012. There are many tropes in romantic comedies. The I Don't Like You, But I Love You. The love-hate relationship. Getting together despite not being with each other. Let's make a deal trope. Two people platonically coming together due to circumstances and then finding themselves involved in a non-platonic way. The unrequited love. The one-sided relationship. The pining.
Personally, my favorite trope is the one where like friends become lovers, because I feel like you already know that person, so like when you love, like it just gets easier because you can find all the good qualities in that person, which you might not have if you just met them and then you automatically like started loving them or dated them. So yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. My favorite trope is also that one, like friends turning into lovers each other. I think it's really kind of realistic. So it makes us and the audiences to imagine if they get to become a lovers with their like besties, which sounds weird but really romantic kind of. So I like that one.
Of course. Completely agree. So now I generally want to talk about the actors. Personally, I forget a lot of names. It's the pairing or the actors that I remember. They've broken our hearts, made us laugh, and consistently been our crushes. Richard Cherry, the OG romantic comedy Sadie. Get Your Fix via rom-com classics Pretty Woman, Runaway Bride, Hi at Julia Roberts, and Shall We Dance. Matthew McConaughey, the interstellar actor similar to his interstellar co-star Anne Hathaway, who, by the way, has always played the underdog filled with integrity and is not to be missed in any of her movies and has shared screen time with Meryl freaking Streep. Let's get back to give attention to the guy. Has done his fair share of rom-coms. His palpable chemistry with Kate Hudson in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days makes you swoon, and his comic timing mix. The push and pull with Kate, as Matthew says himself, is so on to the point that even if the movie is weird and all sorts of crazy, you always come back for a second, third, and multiple doses. If we are talking about chemistry, how can we forget about Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler? The two have shared the screen for what? Thrice. Adam Sandler has done his fair share of comedy movies to master the art, mix in a romantic interest, and he has given some of the iconic movies to us.
Paul Rudd and Mark Ruffalo. The Marvel actors had their look for romantic comedies in the 90s and early 20s. Though the role was not centered around their characters, they were pretty much unforgettable. The Breakfast at Tiffany's Little Lady, Audrey Hepburn, a timeless beauty. Her acting filled with grace and body language so poised, she was a fashion icon and you cannot miss watching her movies in your lifetime. Jennifer Garner, 13 going on 30, and she's still iconic. I cannot stress more on how you're missing so much if you haven't seen the movie or any of her movies. She acts really clumsy, hyper-female so well. Katherine Heigl, One for the Money, The Ugly Truth, Killers, 27 Dresses, Life as We Know It, Knocked Up. Let's make a Kate Hudson 2.0 without the twinkle in her eye or the subtle suggestions that she enjoys sex. She did not play relatable, and that's why we loved her. The Sammy Tees, with a stubborn, forceful strike. Cute and tiny, yet sassy and formidable. Reese Witherspoon, we need not say more. Zanny, prevailing 30-something, who's an eccentric free sprint in 50% of her roles, and a down-home southern girl in need of some romantic excitement in the other 50%. The generic big city girl, we're talking about Sandra Bullock.
Hugh Grant, in Love Actually, he might have been the best character, but he does play the best characters. Straight out of college core looking guys, if you run for the opposite sex, I don't find any reason why you shouldn't have crushed on him. Watching him at Notting Hill, I always wanted to say, I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy, asking him to love her. Much like Julia Roberts' character said to him, Jennifer Aniston, every romantic comedy ever made, and some that have not been made yet, and that one you dreamed about. She plays a lovable, neurotic girl next door who also happens to do yoga every other hour and constantly remains well hydrated somehow. What are your favorite romantic comedies? What is the pair that remains iconic to you? What actress do you never miss in a rom-com role?
Personally, my favorite romantic comedies is Love, Rosie, the movie. And Lily Collins and Sam Claflin were there, and they were my favorite couple ever. Personally, I do really like Lily Collins. She's really beautiful and really positive. I love her energy. And she and Sam Claflin look so beautiful and cute in that movie. They've been friends since they were really young, and they've been in the same school, and they do have kind of love each other, but they didn't know, because they were always misunderstood each other's mind. And finally, they get to love each other. I really love this cliche and the stories. So I really recommend you guys to watch it once in your life.
Amazing, amazing. So personally, my favorite romantic comedies are, first of all, The Kissing Booth. I love that so much. Like, I actually watched that last week.
Agreed.
Yeah. It's just so, like, sentimental, and it just promotes all that romantic feelings in you. And then secondly, I like Aladdin a lot. Like, I feel that's one popular Disney movie. And yeah. And other than that, I haven't really watched a lot of romantic comedies, so I personally don't know any more good ones, but I'll definitely keep looking out for more. From what we talked about, romantic comedy is absolutely a beautiful love story, but this is just a film. But on one hand, romantic comedies could affect how people think about love. For older viewers, they can separate what's realistic and what's not. But for the younger viewers who don't have experiences, it's easier to incorporate these idealizations into their head of what love is supposed to be like. Romantic comedies can affect your thoughts by fostering unrealistic ideas of love, such as believing faith that love brings individuals together and a soulmate will anticipate your deepest needs without talking to them, or think that love conquers all and will ultimately bring a never-ending happiness that is rarely affected by any conflict.
So yes, 90s-style romantic comedies are old-fashioned, but that was always kind of the point. We, as writers, as audiences, as a storytelling species, keep returning to a very specific flavor of comedy love because it fulfills something primary in us. Romantic comedy will never die. Also taken from different genres throughout the years, the genre stays comforting and radiating warmth. The genre will change depending on social norms, of course, and views of sex and love are always changing, improving, regressing, move forward, or trailing themselves to fit evolving conceptions. But we'll always want it. We are a society that believes in love. Yes, we love romantic comedies for their heart, escapism, and wit. But for LGBTQIA+ and minority audiences who finally get to see themselves reflected in the genre, the love for these films comes from seeing themselves represented, and that representation is what has breathed new life into the beauty of romantic comedy. But it's not enough. We want more. There needs to be more representation of LGBTQIA+ in romantic comedies. That's it for today. Follow all our socials, Genji Weird Future Instagram, and our podcast Instagram, Let's Talk Gen Z. We want to hear from you guys. What's your favorite romantic comedies, and what movies are you going back to?